Each of us has a body. Each of us sits here today. And through that body, we experience ourselves as individuals, as people of a community and of a family, of a nation, of a faith, but also independent. I am the son of Marjorie and Warren, and I am the father of Rose and Bryn, and the husband of Caroline, and I am the pastor of this Petaluma United Methodist Church. And on, each of us have those different identities that we carry with us that have built up over time from when we were first born. And many of those identities come from our body, because it is our body that reminds us again and again that we are separate from each other, independent from each other. And that's not a judgment, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it seems to be reality. Just as we are on planet Earth, and we are not on Jupiter or Mars, or thankfully on the Sun, because then our bodies would have a very short life, for sure. But because we have this relationship with our bodies, it influences how we see ourselves, but also those around us, and it influences how we relate to God. Because I do believe very strongly that God is in each of us. God is not only part of us, God is the source of us. For without God's spirit, energy, creative power, we would not be here. But then there's the body that we carry around, perhaps, that we rely on to move, to talk, to engage with others, to create new life at times, to eat, to sleep, to do all those things that a body does. And often we can start to think of ourselves as being that body. Now, this is a discussion that goes back to the beginning of Christianity. This idea of there's the soul, and then there's the body, there's the spirit and the mind, and are they the same? How do they engage with each other? Those are big and at times laboriously long conversations. So I'm just going to cut to what to me seems to be some level of understanding that I have a body and my soul is part of that body, but at a certain point, my body will die. It'll fall away. But my soul and all of your souls will continue on our journey back to God. However, because we live in our bodies for such a long time, and we begin to think of them as, to some degree, who we are, maybe some of us think of that a lot, that it's who we are, we have to resist the gravitational pull of our bodies, because our bodies have very solid sense of identity. You have skin, hair, sense organs, ears and eyes and mouth. All of those that are working all the time, often unconsciously. We're not really paying that much attention necessarily, but they're happening all the time. And we're getting new information, new data in from what we see and hear and taste and touch. And we incorporate that into our worldview. The scientific perspective is based on analysis and looking at things in an objective manner, so that if it can be reproduced in the lab in an experimental situation where it is under control, then that proves it exists. Which, unfortunately, for us that are looking to engage with God, engage with the Spirit, which can be more difficult to prove, as it were, we might find ourselves feeling out of the loop of that conversation. And these days, and it's been true for quite a while, if something can't be proved in the laboratory, so to speak, or using the scientific methodology, then there's a question as to whether it's real or not. It's probably fictitious, perhaps. It can't be proven, so how could it be true? So from that point of view, religion and faith can seem to be a fantasy. But that's just it. There are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy, Horatio, as our good friend Mr. Shakespeare once said. There's much more than we can fully grasp in life, in creation, in our own experience, never mind in the experience of billions and billions of other beings, other people, other worlds. One of the wonderful things about the scientific method is that it has given us the opportunity to see worlds that are far from our own, in our galaxy or even beyond our galaxy. We've seen images from organizations like National Geographic showing stars being born. Stars being born. Wow, what a concept. So there are great benefits to looking at things from an objective, scientific, analytic point of view, of course. But it's one way of looking at life and not the only way. And I am addressing that because we have our identity often wrapped up in our physical selves. It can, doesn't have to, but it can cause us to see that life revolves around me, or around you. That is a very common and understandable identity for a person to take on, because we have the body, we have our ego, and much of the time we feel as though if we don't take care of things, if we don't work really hard, that it'll all fall apart. It's up to us, it's our responsibility to make the world work. If we can function at a higher level of productivity, of skill, even of love, then the world will be a better place. I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it's easy for us to take that as our job as individuals, our job to make it happen. We have been given an amazing opportunity in being born, in having a body, to live a life here, at this time, in the 21st century, here in Petaluma. Each of us with our own identity, each of us with our own history. Some of us just visiting Petaluma for a little bit of time, going back to their own regular abodes. Some of us living here maybe our whole lives. But it is God that has brought us here. And it is Christ that asks us to do the work that we do in this life. This might seem like a small detail that is not really that important, but I think it's immensely important, because if we honestly think that we are the ones that are doing everything, that it's because we're, as our children were saying earlier, we're brushing and flossing our teeth and eating lots of vegetables and staying away from junk food and taking a bath, you know, those are all good things, don't get me wrong, but if we think if we do all of those things and many, many other things, then everything will be fine because we've done it, we can cross it off our list, I think we're missing something. We're missing the fact that God is the one who is in charge. God is the one who has created all of this. God is the one who has graciously welcomed us into this life and said, you have a role to play in it. You have something to offer that is unique and special and wondrous. And I, as the divine, as the holy, as the source of all creation, have asked you to be part of this. That is very different from I have to take a bath, and I have to floss my teeth, and I have to go to work, and I have to pay the bills. Hugely different. And yet our bodies, because we do believe again and again that they are our bodies, that we live within, to the point where we think that we are maybe only that. My body is tired. My body aches. My body doesn't work as well as it used to. Those are genuine experiences. I'm not denying that in any way. Some of us know better than others how genuine those experiences are. But that is still only part of the picture. In order for us to be able to be engaged and part of the process that God has created with us and everything else in mind, it is a good idea to consistently offer up our sense of self, our sense of who we are, to God. To not let our bodies tell us otherwise. And to not believe that because I'm hungry and I didn't get to have lunch today, that I'm somehow that's the only reality that exists, or that I didn't sleep well last night and that's the reality that exists, or I have a terrible disease that's eating away at me and that's the only reality that exists, or I'm at the peak of my health, I can run marathons, I can swim many laps, I feel great, vibrant with health, and that's the only reality that exists. Reality is a complex, multifaceted experience. It's much like coming here today to worship. There are a few dozen of us here in worship. We're each coming from our own sense of understanding of who we are, what God means to us. When we pray, we each do it differently. When we sing, we each do it differently. Yet all of us have something unique to offer up that we do right here in the midst of this magnificent sanctuary. And it's all of us coming together that creates the body of Christ. We heard in Scripture how there are different gifts. We can prophesy, we can serve, we can love, we can build a community. Those are all important, but each of us are one segment of the larger body of Christ. And maintaining that awareness or working to develop it I think that's what Christ is asking us to do, to work together as one community, as one people, even though we are all different, and even though we all have different gifts, and even though we all see things from a different point of view. This is the model of the kingdom that Jesus brought to us, This is the big reason that God brought Jesus to us in the first place, is to remind us we have to work together. This is the model that I hope the whole planet would adopt. Some days that seems very unlikely. Some years that seems very unlikely. But I keep praying that it will happen, that there is a greater good, that all the forward thrust that is God's intention in creation is leading us to that place where we become one body. In the midst of all this complexity, I think that is possible. Look at what this community here at this church has done over these many, 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 many years that it has existed. Through multiple generations, the church is open. It holds services. We help those in need. We support each other. That doesn't mean that we're all acting like, you know, robots, the same way, all believing the same way. The church is a wonderful example for how the body of Christ actually functions. So, creation is, among other things, God's desire to become incarnate. And with Jesus, we have a wonderful, wonderful example of that. The incarnation, the model for all of us in how we live our lives and how we offer everything we do up to God. And each of us have that opportunity throughout the course of our lives to do that. And it takes practice, and it's not easy to do. But we try again and again and again, because if we try, eventually we will realize something very special, that God truly is with us, that God loves us, that we are God's beloved children, and nothing can ever take that away. This is nothing new that I'm saying. It's something you probably have heard all of your lives in going to church. It's something certainly that I have said often enough, because it's almost like, hopefully each of us had an experience when we were children where we knew our parents loved us deeply. It might not have been as often as we would have liked, and it might have changed, and there might have been times when we felt the opposite of that. But maybe there was at least that one time, and maybe many times, when we knew our parents loved us, and we felt safe, and we felt secure in that. This is what we can have with God today, if we're willing to open ourselves up to let our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our souls become part of that body of Christ. The beloved community is the body of Christ, and we are all members. And the only thing that stops us from becoming a member of that wonderful world is ourselves, because we think that's not who I am. But it is. So, let us just say some prayer. Beloved God, you bring us here today to worship, to pray, to lift our lives up with the hope that you will heal us, renew us, remind us of your presence in our lives. Sometimes it seems like you're knocking on the door, asking to come in. Come into our lives. And we have the door closed, the curtains drawn, and the music's turned up so loud that we can't even hear you. Help us to turn that music or that TV or that static off. Help us to open the curtains. Help us to unlock the door so that when you come and knock, we open and welcome you in. Help us to break out of that sense of isolation we can sometimes get from our bodies or from our ego or from our way of relating to the world. Help us to loosen so that you come in and we realize that we're finally home, home with our beloved Creator who loves us always and forever. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.